case?
No, we did not, no.
And why not?
There always seemed to be some reason or another why she wouldn't, either wouldn't discuss it, or if we did discuss it, it became an issue that would turn into a, it would springboard into unpleasantness and then arguments. And then it was also too late. At a certain point, it was just too late. So then the idea of a post-nup agreement was brought up to Ms. Hurd, and that was in Australia. That was the beginning of the Australian
fight. Well, let's talk about Australia then. But first of all, why were you in Australia?
I was working on Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
And who from your team was with you in Australia?
Jerry Judge, Malcolm Connolly, Nathan Holmes, Stephen Duders, Keenan Wyatt. I believe that was it. No, that's it.
Was Miss Lloyd in Australia with you as well?
Oh, yes. Miss Lloyd traveled to Australia with us.
And did Dr. Kipper come down to Australia at any point?
Yeah, Dr. Kipper came down a bit later.
Mr. Wyatt testified yesterday that he observed you have a meeting with Sean Bailey in Australia. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And could you please tell the jury who Sean Bailey is?
Sean Bailey, at that time, was the number three man at Disney in terms of hierarchy. He was upper echelon Disney. So he was under Bob Iger, and initially under Dick Cook, who was removed from Disney for some reason. So yes, he was number three man at Disney.
And why were you having a discussion with Mr. Bailey?
The discussions that I would was having with Mr. Bailey, with Sean Bailey, were they had to do with, well, as I think we've established, you know, I have always, from the beginning of those, that series of films, I had always rewritten my character's words and jokes, if you will, and situational comedy and things that I would add. And Mr. Bailey was very complimentary about some of the things that I'd done. He'd come over to me laughing after
Objection.
A take.
Calls for hearsay.
Your Honor, this is just discussing generally what they were talking about.
He was getting specific. I'll sustain that if you want to continue. That's fine.
Mr. Depp, was Ms. Hurd in Australia with you?
She came a little later, yes.
Do you recall when she came down?
I don't recall. No, I do recall. It was March. It was March.
And what happened when Ms. Hurd came to visit you in Australia?
Ms. Hurd was upset because, as I stated earlier, as it was too late for a prenup agreement, there was a discussion of postnup agreement. And I had called my lawyer at the time and asked him if he could have one of his lawyers sit down with Ms. Heard and give her a basic rundown of what a postnuptial agreement meant, and they I was told that they showed
objection,
her
objection hearsay.
Your Honor, this is what something he asked an attorney. It's not a statement of fact that's being offered for its truth.
Yeah, I'll sustain the objection.
Okay, next question. What did Ms. Heard tell you she was upset about when she arrived in Australia?
Ms. Heard told me that the attorney that she met with was rude and dismissive, and all she was being shown was an example of a postnuptial agreement. Ms. Heard then stated to me that she was very upset. She stated to me that that she what she had said was, she said to the lawyer, the woman, that this Johnny can't, he must not, he doesn't know about this. He's never seen, he doesn't know that this is what this is. No way he would agree to this. And what Ms. Heard then expressed to me was that the lawyer, the woman, had laughed at her and said, oh, he knows. Yes, he knows everything. Which sent her into a tailspin. So by the time she arrived in Australia, that was sunk very deep into her psyche. I mean, so much so that what really surprised me was that she kept saying, I'm not even in your will. I'm not even in your will. I thought that was an odd thing to say. Especially since I don't think anybody had time to change wills or anything of that nature. So those things just didn't, it felt wrong. And she could not let go of the fact that I was in on this post-nup agreement, and that I was trying to trick her into essentially getting nothing if something were to happen.
And how did you respond to Ms. Heard?
So I just told her those were not my intentions, you know. And at a certain point, you don't know what to do. I mean, the person is telling you, she's telling you, you don't trust me, you don't trust me, you don't trust me. And I can't speak about legal documents. I can't speak legalese. I can't explain to her these things. All I could do was try to calm her down and say that I was not out to screw her over or put her in a position that was uncomfortable.
Did that work?
These were stock, normal things to do. It did not work, no. It escalated and turned into madness, chaos.
Can you please
violence?
Can you please describe that chaos and violence?
Yes, she was irate. She was irate, and she was possessed. And when I tried to remove myself as I normally would from a situation, that is to say, you know, as she's hammering me with sort of brutal words and I don't, pardon my language, but I remember that it wasn't nice sort of being called an ass kisser to lawyers or a pussy that didn't fight for her or stand up for her. I, again, tried to remove myself from the situation, but to no avail. As I literally, the house that they had rented for me in Australia was quite a large place. It was quite a bit of a labyrinth, you know, and a lot of rooms, a lot of extra rooms. So I would go to, well, I'll just cut to the chase. I think that I ended up locking myself in about at least 9 bedrooms, bathrooms that day, as she was banging on the doors and screaming obscenities and wanting to have a physical altercation.
So how did it come to be that your finger became injured?
There was at one point where I'd stayed in one of the, sitting on a bathroom floor, door locked, she's banging away, screaming, blah, 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 and then suddenly she stopped, and I could hear her walk away. I could hear her sort of receding into the distance, if you will, and yes, it became very emotional because you can't win for losing. There was nothing I could do to make her understand that I had, if that lawyer had in fact done that. And I did call my lawyer at the time, Jake Bloom, and I had him get these people on the phone. And I'm ashamed to say that I had taken, at that point when I was on the phone with him, I had taken Ms. Heard's words to heart. And I laid out a ration of I was very upset that she was pushed to that limit because I had believed it. In fact, none of it had happened. So, it was all getting too crazy. And again, I had been sober for many, many months from alcohol and substances, aside from the marijuana. And I left the place, the room that I was hiding in, or not hiding, locked myself into. And I went downstairs in the house. As soon as you walk in the house, you can go upstairs or downstairs. Downstairs, there was a sort of a rec area, pool table and such. And there was a bar. And I was a mess. I was a wreck. I was shaking, and I just didn't understand why all this was happening. So I went behind the bar, I grabbed a bottle of vodka that was there and a shot glass and sat at the bar. She was nowhere around. And I poured myself two or three stiff shots of the vodka, first taste of alcohol I'd had in a long time, and then she came down to the bar and found me there, and of course started screaming, "Oh, you're drinking again, yeah, the monster," and all that. So she reached, she walked up to me and reached and grabbed the bottle of vodka, and then just kind of stood back and then hurled it at me, and it just went right past my head and smashed behind me. So I stood up and I walked behind the bar, and there was a larger bottle of vodka, the kind with the handle, you know, on it. I grabbed that and I went and I sat in my seat again. I opened the bottle and I poured myself a shot and drank it. Miss Heard was flinging insults left, right, and center, and she then grabbed that bottle and threw that at me. And the way that the bar was situated and where Miss Herb was, so if I could show you, so if bottles. If this was the bar and I'm sitting here like this, she would grab the bottle and she would go there. She went there. And so I was leaning like this in the chair, looking at her. First bottle went, then got the other bottle shot. Takes the second bottle, which is the larger one. I'm in this position again, and my hand is on the edge of the bar, like that, you know, leaning over the fingers, like that, and she threw the large bottle, and it made contact and shattered everywhere. And I honestly didn't feel the pain at first at all. I felt no pain whatsoever. What I felt was, I felt heat. I felt heat, and I felt as if something were dripping down my hand, you know. And then I looked down and realized that the tip of my finger had been severed. And I was looking directly at my bones sticking out, and the meaty portion of the inside of your finger, and blood was just pouring out. And at that point, I think that I went into some sort of, I don't know what a nervous breakdown feels like, but that's probably the closest that I've ever been. Nothing made sense. And I knew in my mind and in my heart, This is not life. This is not life. No one should have to go through this. And as I said, this feeling of nervous, being in the middle of some sort of nervous breakdown, I started to write with my blood, in my own blood, on the walls. Little reminders from our past that essentially represented lies that she had told me and lies that I had caught her in. The next thing, amongst all the madness, I would again hide in the bathroom or wherever, and I texted Dr. Kipper and I said, you might want to come over. I've cut my finger off here.
Which finger was cut, Mr. Depp?
It's the middle, it's the funny looking one. It's the middle finger here. You can see all the sort of the from the initial wound, this all these bones up here were crushed, and it looked like Vesuvius, and so this part of my finger now is so that because of not having use of the tip here, this is basically arthritis that kicks into the joint once that upper part of the finger is mangled.
So is that the right middle finger?
Right middle, yes.
And is that your dominant hand?
Yes, it is, yes.
Mr. Depp, after Ms. Heard threw the vodka bottle at you and severed your finger, what, if anything, did she say when she saw the injury?
I don't recall anything, but just it was almost like white noise, just someone yelling. It was just a high-pitched, constant attack of insults. It was just jumbled words to me in a very high frequency, and I was in a bit of shock, I was in shock.
You mentioned that you reached out to Dr. Kipper. Did you receive medical attention after that?
Yes. Jerry Judge Malcolm Connolly, I believe Debbie Lloyd was there. Yes, Debbie Lloyd was there. Ben King had arrived as well.
Who is Ben King?
Ben King was, he's essentially, he's a house, sort of an estate manager, and we'd worked together in London a few times, and he's a wonderful guy, so I brought Ben along to Australia to manage everything. He's very, very good and very nice. And then there was also I mentioned Malcolm and Jerry. Yeah, they were there as well.
Which, if any, of the medical professionals that you saw that day did you tell what happened to your finger?
When Malcolm and Dr. Kipper, when they took me to, first we went to Malcolm's apartment where he was staying while we were shooting the film, and tried to clean my hand because I had worked the day before, and obviously when you're playing a pirate, Captain Jack or whatever, they paint with alcohol, with rubbing alcohol, they paint dirt all into your hands and into your face and everything. So they were worried about getting my finger clean, so they tried doing that at Malcolm's. And then Chipper said, no, we got to get to emergency room, and we've got to get hold of the tip of his finger. So we went to the emergency room. The doctor asked me what happened, and I lied to him. I said that I had smashed it in these large accordion doors, that it got caught in the accordion doors.
Why would you lie about that?
I lied because I didn't want to disclose that it was what it was. I didn't want to disclose that it had been misheard, that it had thrown a vodka bottle at me and then took my finger off. I didn't want to get her in trouble. I didn't want to. I tried to just keep things as copacetic and as easy as possible for everyone. I did not want to put her name in that mix.
Did you tell Dr. Kipper what had actually happened to your finger?
Yes.
After you returned from the hospital, where did you go?
I went to Malcolm Connolly's apartment and slept on his couch.
And to the extent that you know, where was Ms. Hurd during this time?
Ms. Hurd was... I wasn't there, but it was clear that she had to, she needed to leave. And I'd asked them to get her on a flight from Melbourne or Sydney or wherever back to Los Angeles.
Why did you ask for that?
I didn't want to see her. I didn't want to see her. I didn't want to have any more arguments. I was, for all intents and purposes, I was just done.
Mr. Depp, I'd like to show you a picture. If we could please pull up Plaintiff's Exhibit 145. Mr. Yes. Depp, what is this a picture of?
That is, that's me in the emergency room. I see a detail that I'd forgotten, which is Ms. Hurd had pulled. Taken my cigarette from the ashtray and stomped it out in my face here.
Could you mark on the screen where you see that?
It's right above that green dot.
And do you know who took this picture?
I do not know.
Can we please publish this to the jury?
Do you want to enter into evidence?
Yes, please.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
All right. 145 in evidence. You can publish to the jury.
And so, Mr. Depp, now that the jury can see the photograph, can you again explain what that green dot is identifying?
Just above the just above the green dot is a wound from Ms. Hurd taking my cigarette, and this is after the finger had gone away, and she stubbed it out in my face and on my cheek. So that's the result of that.
If we could please take this down, and I'd like to show you, Mr. Depp, Plaintiff's Exhibit 144.
Yep, it's...
What is this, a picture of Mr. Depp?
The remains of my finger.
And was this taken shortly after you were injured?
I believe this was taken at the emergency room, I'd imagine.
I'd move to this into evidence, but I'd like to also warn the jury and the people in the audience that this is a very graphic picture.
All right, any objection?
No, Your Honor.
All right, 144.
We can take this down. Thank you. Mr. Depp, how long after your finger was injured did you return to LA?
After the emergency room, the following day, I was sent to they'd found a surgeon in Australia, so that I could go. They wanted me to take have X-rays taken and all that. So we went to that doctor, the finger surgeon, and he asked me what happened to my finger, and I again lied, and I stuck to the story that it was smashed in an accordion, a large accordion door. And he looked at me as if I were lying. And the next thing I heard was, "Sir, that is a wound of velocity." And,
objection,
hearsay. Your Honor, this is a communication in the context of medical treatment.
I'll sustain the objection. Moving on.
So Mr. Depp, this was a surgeon you saw in Australia?
Yes.
When did you return to Los Angeles after seeing that surgeon?
I believe it was probably the next day, where it might have been Kipper, or someone who had hooked me up with a wonderful, sort of great expert in reconstruction of hands, fingers, digits, whatever. So I went to see the surgeon, and we prepped for surgery pretty quickly.
And what type of surgery did you have on your finger?
The majority of this was all missing, and essentially, to some degree, hollowed out, if you will, because the bone had shattered. And then there was the bone that was sticking out down there. So he had to do a skin graft from this part of my hand and graft it onto my finger to give me a finger again.
Anything else that was done to your finger to stabilize it?
I don't think it was initially that they put the pin in. I think the pin feels like the pin came later. I'm not sure, but I had to go after the surgery. It was bandaged up, and they give you all kinds of things on what to do, what not to do, keep it elevated or this or that, and I just walked away with a very large middle finger. It was all wrapped up to like this, and then medicated. They given me shots in there and such.
How long did you wear that bandage that you just described?
Well, the bandage was from the time of the surgery all the way through the remainder of finishing Pirates of the Caribbean, which was, I think I finished, the injury took place in March. Finished Pirates of the Caribbean 5, I believe, in August, beginning of August, end of July. So there was a bandage on it the whole time. What I had to do was wear, because of, there's a special effects trick that they had planned. Basically, whatever bandage I had on, as long as they could, they would put little green dots, for example, on the splint and the finger and all that, and the bandages, so that in post-production they could use what's called computer-generated imagery, CGI, to erase the bandage and replace it with a normal finger. That's how we finished the film.
If we could please pull up Plaintiff's Exhibit 61. And if we could scroll to the second picture. Third. Can you keep going? One more, please. Another. Sorry, this is a series of pictures. And to spare everyone, I don't think I'll show you the immediate injury again. This was right one right here. Thank you. Mr. Depp, do you recognize this picture?
Yes, I do.
And what's reflected in this picture?
This was taken in the surgeon's office. Where I'd go in occasionally. Well, I had to go in every couple of few days to have it checked out for infections and such. The finger. Finger, non-finger, was wrapped quite heavily, and there was this medicated, kind of greasy medicated thing on top of the wound itself. And this, I believe, seems like when the pin was in here, and the wrapping is, the bandage is, well, I had my choice, you know, and I thought, well, may as well take the kitty bandages, you know, dinosaurs and hearts and unicorns. As I said, you know, at least have some humor to deflect the pain.
Your Honor, I'd like to move Plaintiff's Exhibit 61 into evidence.
Do you want the whole exhibit or just this picture?
If we could publish the whole exhibit.
You want the whole picture, the whole exhibit. Any objection to 61?
No, Your Honor.
All right, 61. But you just want to publish this part of 61?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So how long after your injury was this picture taken?
After the initial injury?
Yes.
I'd say no more than, it would seem to me, no more than 5 days, a week.
Okay. And how long was this bandage on your hand for?
Well, I was wearing bandages all the way up until I finished the film, and then through August for sure, and then beyond. I had to keep it covered, I had to keep it protected.
Do you recall how long after the injury that how long after the surgery the pins were removed from your finger?
I would say maybe, I think it was about 2 or 3 days, because I remember that there was maybe more, but I just remember that the pain seemed to be getting worse and worse. As Debbie would rate it, you know, from a, is this an 8 out of 10? Is this a 3 out of 10? That kind of thing. At a certain point, it became, kind of a 12 out of 10, because it felt hot, very, very, very hot, and it felt, there was throbbing, it was throbbing, and the pin in there, it was like I could feel the pin in there, so I called the surgeon, told him, actually, I think it might have been Debbie Lloyd, actually, that called, but I knew I had to see the surgeon again, because something felt very wrong, and I went there, and he removed all the bandages, and he found that that my finger was indeed infected, and that I had contracted MRSA, MRSA, which is like I believe it's like the flesh-eating disease or something. But it was a pretty grotesque sight. After that, with the pin in and what they had to do to save it.
Mr. Depp, while your finger was injured and healing, did you ever take any opiates during that time?
No, ma'am. No. No more.
Your Honor, I'm about to switch gears, so if it makes sense to take our lunch break.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and take our lunch break.